Arcade Cozy, the coziest game room on the internet. My name is Chris.
My name is Corey.
And we are back again, Corey. Not only do we now exist in a world post Pal World, we exist in a world in which Kiryu is also a part of it. I don't know.
Yeah,
I guess he's always been a part of it.
I mean, he's always been there.
Ichiban has traveled abroad. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. I felt like I was
stateside.
I felt like I was going somewhere with that, and then just didn't. So. How are you doing, Corey?
I'm good. I have no complaints. I've had a wonderful weekend. I went for a run yesterday morning, and that was nice. But my knee did not love it.
Uh-huh.
It never does. It just takes a while to warm up, and then once it's going, it's fine. But it's just a long time. And I've been playing a lot of Infinite Wealth, and I'm the spoilers, people. That is what we are talking about today in the back half. But it's going to be a lot of Infinite Wealth, and it's a lot of good things about it.
It's one of the bummers about getting older, and like I can't really say that just because like there are 80-year-olds who are running marathons and stuff. Like,
yeah,
you can do it if you want to. But man, like I remember being, I mean, you know this better than I do because you were like, you did it competitively. You ran, like you actually ran for like a team and stuff.
I'm a state champion in high school, not to brag, a decade later. But yeah.
Oh my God. Wait, was it like distance running? Was that your thing? Was like,
yeah. So I ran cross country in high school. And yeah, so in high school is 5K, it's 3.1 miles.
Mm-hmm. So what was your best 5K time, Corey?
I think like 1737.
Wow.
So
goodness.
Which, to put in perspective, I think that sounds right. It might be a little slower than that. It was like anywhere from like 1730 to like 1750. Can't remember on the dot. I'm gonna say it was like 37. Which for people who run cross country, they're like, okay, yeah, that's pretty good. I was in high school cross country, how it's scored is your top five runners score, and it's like golf, you want the lowest score. Mm-hmm. And wherever you place is your points. I was our number five runner on our state champion team. We had like two all ran like 1650s.
Man, you were a fast boy.
I was pretty fast. I could run a half mile at like 203, 202.
Jesus. I never got up that great. I got into running, not to be like a Instagram, you know, sad boy, but I got really into running after like a breakup in college.
Nice.
Where it wasn't because of that. It was more just to do with like, it was the summer and I had been wanting to lose weight for a while and I had nothing better to do. Yeah.
Oh, I get it.
So I was running regularly and I got up to like, you know, I think at my best, I was running like sub 8 minute miles.
That's
so
good.
I mean, like, yeah, I mean, not definitely not like your clip. I was running
9 minute miles yesterday. Okay. I'm very slow right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm even slower. Like whenever I run now, I mean, it's a soft 10, 11. Somewhere
nothing wrong there. With that, man.
Yeah, but that to round out what I was saying about that, like it's one of those things where whenever I was in college, like, yeah, it was just a groove. Like I just, I went, like, I would be bored while I was running because it was just like, I was like, man, I got to find ways to make this more interesting. Cause this is not like, I'm just, you know, I'm running same route. I'm running roughly the same distance. Like I'm trying to push my time a little bit, but by and large, I'm just trying to do it to continue being healthy and, you know, whatever. But now, man, like last year before we got in on the house, like I was running a few times a week, and I was trying to kind of do that. And I was like, I got to a point where I was doing, like, I was able to run a couple of miles, like, not with no huge issue, but my time was super slow. And it never felt like it was clicking in the way that it did whenever I was in college. Yeah. It was like, I still feel like even at my best, I'm going to be struggling more than I was 10 years ago, Corey. I graduated college 10 years ago this year. So that's,
wow.
Yeah.
I will end that with saying it's never about time. It's always about distance. It's always about how far you can go.
Yeah. So. I'm gonna try to run a little bit. My wife surprised me. She I've been wanting to get a walking pad for whenever I'm working during the day. Because I have a standing desk, and there are plenty of times where it's like, man, it feels like, you know, I'm standing here just kind of reviewing some stuff. I really could, like, if I got a walking pad, I could get in a little bit of some steps while I'm doing that. But I was like, you know, they're even the cheapest ones are like a couple hundred bucks. But the Bentime, they have, I don't know if you're familiar with Bentime, but they do like Amazon overstock stuff for like, you know, they'll sell like a MacBook for $5.
Yeah.
and really the only catch is that, like, it's basically Black Friday all the time. You're trying to like beat people through a door to get it. However, I say that Bentime also has a lesser known like auction site. And there's a warehouse near us where, like, so they'll do the auction thing and you bid on it like eBay, but I don't think it's all of the same stuff, but it's the same kind of thing. So she ended up getting like a $200 walking pad for like $40.
Incredible.
Like, just right. I mean, it's brand new. It's just damaged box, but it was, she was like, hey, I knew you wanted a walking pad. I bid on this. I got it. So all we got to do is go pick it up. So I'm like, yeah.
Heck
so
yeah.
Maybe I'll just start. I think like the max speed on those is like 4 miles an hour. So
yeah, we're going super.
I don't think I can get some running in, but, walking. Yeah. I'm gonna be a walk-in machine, Corey.
Yeah, you are. It's amazing.
Yeah,
I love that.
I would like to get back into running though.
Woke up and did it.
Yeah, I would like to actually like run the longest I ever ran was about 7.5 miles.
Okay,
that was my longest run. And I would do that like probably once a week or so. I was running about that length. But I never tried to push it further. Cause I mean, at that point, like I was running like an hour. I was like, what am I going to do? Keep running. What do I have to prove to anybody? I'm just, I would like to run like a half marathon at least.
Yeah.
Like that'd be nice. I'd like to achieve that. Yeah. Maybe this year. Maybe this year.
I believe.
Corey. Yeah. I believe. I hope so. It'd be nice. But Corey, this isn't the run pod.
Not this week. Well, this week, yes, but not every week.
Yeah. This week we're running from tiny monsters and running right into the arms of everyone's greatest himbo, Ichi. What's Yeah, no, this week, everybody, we got two big topics on the discussion. Holdover from last week, Power World discussion. We didn't talk about it. Now we are. And then on the back half, we've both been playing Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth. Corey's been playing a lot more than I have, but I'm still, I'm right there in it. It's opening up. We're getting going. So we're going to talk about that. But Corey, let's dive in with some Pal World.
Yes.
A little bit of that discussion. Last week, whenever the only reason we didn't talk about it last week is just because we didn't have enough time. It was like, I realized, I was like, man, it's like this feels like a bigger discussion And I want to, like, we need to give it more time. But yeah, Pal World's been out at this point, I don't know, week and a half-ish. It sold a lot. It sold, what were the numbers? It was like 7 million copies in
a shocking amount.
Yeah. First few days. Okay, so Pal World, 4 days ago, they tweeted, X'd. Is that what they, I don't know. What did they say?
What's that?
They tweeted 8 million copies in less than 6 days. So
that just feels weird.
Yeah.
It's like a really high number.
Well, and it's also, to put in perspective, like, that's also sales on Steam. That doesn't include the fact that it's on Game Pass.
Yeah.
And you can there are plenty of other people playing it who have not just purchased it outright. Again, Pal World, Pokemon with guns. I mean, that's the like marketing slogan, which apparently has worked because they are doing stuff. But yeah, for perspective, why it matters, I guess. If you didn't hear last week, like, Pal World came out. It's always kind of like existed in this, I think, in this marketing space where it's like, it's kind of a joke. Because it's Pokemon with guns. So it's a lot of these, you know, animals who look very similar to Pokemon, who are running around with like AK-47s
and similar.
Right. And you see them like making weapons in a factory. And so like there are all of these things where it's like, man, this can't be real. Like, it just feels like an April Fool's joke in a way. Then the game comes out, and I think the combination of the game having that sort of legacy on the front end, where it's like, you know, it's Pokemon, like, it just has that like tagline. It has some level of just hype behind it for that. And then also the fact that it is like a good quote unquote game, like neither of us have played it, but from all accounts, like, people are like, no, it's actually like not a bad game. Like, it's a good, it is a survival game that people are like, the monsters are interesting. The survival elements are interesting. There's a lot of like really neat quality of life stuff. There's a lot of really interesting progression stuff. Like, they're just all of these different things. People are like, oh, it's actually like a not bad game. And I think all of that kind of compounding has made it like, oh, people are super digging this. The thing that makes it like, I guess, controversial, or why there has been like such a like discussion about it online, has to do with like a couple of areas, namely, you know, the pals in the game, which are the animals, they look like Pokemon. They not just in art style, but in like, oh, you can, if you were somewhat familiar with Pokemon, like, you can look at most of these characters and see like a direct comparison,
one to one.
Right. Like, there aren't many characters that are like, man, I've never seen anything like that before. And then also too, the fact that it has like these kind of headline grabbing sort of things, like, oh, you're beating these pals, to get them you have to weaken them, and to weaken them you have to beat them with a stick. And then you can get them, and then you can, like, maybe you can have them shoot other pals, or maybe you can make them your slave and have them build stuff. Or if you're done with them, then you can eat them. Like, you know, it's there's all this kind of stuff that comes into it that I think has made the discussion around it like just kind of explode. And you have people on one side who are very, very like, you know, this is the Pokemon I've always wanted. Like, take notes, Game Freak, you suck.
Yeah.
You've been resting for too long, and now look what it's got you. And then on the other side, people who are like, this is, you know, complete, this is a crime. there is no way that this should fly or be legal or whatever. And there hasn't been, there hasn't been any opportunity for there to be any nuance. Like, there's no middle ground where people are like, you know, here's an opinion that kind of takes from both sides. At this point, you know, there's no, to my knowledge, I don't think there's been any like legal action taken.
Nintendo,
I
mean, said they would be taking all legal like avenues that were presented before them or something along those lines.
So there's definitely been like intent, because there have been a number of things, and I think we brought this up last week, where there are a lot of like models that are, you know, even beyond just the, oh, it looks like this Pokemon. There's a lot of like gray area in, you know, people taking these models and then putting them onto the comparable models on Pokemon, and they're matching up one to one. And people being like, that's not really possible unless you like steal the assets. So then there are discussions of that. There are discussions of like, oh, is this just, you know, did it get piped in through an AI generator where it's just like, hey, make me this Pokemon, but different. And, you know, it's a lot of hard kind of things to really kind of wrap your mind around at this point, beyond the fact that it's like, it just looks a lot like Pokemon.
Yeah.
And it's a weird thing, especially in a world that, you know, at this point has had Pokemon for, you know, 25 years. So.
Yeah. This is kind of, because we're going to talk more about kind of Pokemon later when we get to Infinite Wealth, because they have, Tsujimon, League, which is, I guess to give a little bit, is Infinite Wealth like a dragon. Their spin on Pokemon, and it's a homage, but also their own flavor to it. But they are also blatantly ripping it off, and I personally love how they're the approach that they have taken with it as an homage to video games. As a lot of Infinite Wealth is an homage to all video games. But when you look at something like Pal World, and looking at some of the, I think, statements that the CEO of the company has made in regards to how they try to make games, and games that they have made in the past as well that have all been kind of blatant ripoffs of other games, and looking at how Pal World is, I would say, not very problematic, but yes, that could be like a phrase used, but just like very extreme in what it's offering as playstyles, and things that you'd be like, that just really doesn't fly anywhere. Some of these game mechanics. And it's kind of a recipe for disaster going on right now. I mean, they're making a lot of sales. We would also like to point out, this game is in early access. This isn't like a full release of the game either. This is just like the beta, effectively. To my understanding, it's like a pre-order. The full game will come down later. But I think when you look at all of it together, like, they are unabashedly and like no shame just saying, we have taken what Game Freak Pokemon has done. They are taking a lot of their ideas, their individuality, and almost direct assets, and like, we're going to take those and try to make it better on our own accord, which is, I think, a big problem. It's original in some of its ideas. Some of those ideas, like we just said, don't really work and are pretty bad. But to effectively take a lot of hard work from what it seems, and I'm not saying not everyone on this team isn't, who created Pal World is doing this, but to take hard work that's been done in the past and to like use it for your own gain is bad, in my opinion. And I think a lot of, like you said, there's people on both sides of this, and there doesn't seem to be any middle ground. And it's kind of tough to take middle ground when you're looking at like direct, like intellectual property theft, potentially. And so it's a doozy of a discourse right now. I would not be surprised if Pal World is taken down in the future. It sold so well that I couldn't see it that happening, but it seems like Nintendo is pretty pissed about it for them to make a public statement that they are like looking into their legal avenues regarding effectively like asset seizure and theft here.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's a weird, so, you know, as this has been going on and I've like thought about it, because I know people personally who are like playing Pal World and they're like, they kind of land on the side where it's like, oh, you know, Pokemon's getting all their feelings hurt because somebody's been doing a better version of Pokemon. And like, and I mean, it is a valid, somewhat kind of valid place to be.
Yeah.
Like, Game Freak has not put out the best stuff. Granted, like, Sword and Shield, some of my favorite Pokemon games ever. But like, you know, I was disappointed by Scarlet. There've been plenty of times just over the, you know, there has been a feeling from a lot of people who have played Pokemon games for the last, you know, decade, who have been like, they feel like they're out. Like they're not being respected as like a fan or whatever.
Yeah.
And Game Freak is, you know, just squandering the license. How, you know, whether that's true or not, whatever. But that's why, I mean, games like Temtem and, you know, Cassette Beasts was also a game that I never got to, I think last year, that got a lot of acclaim. But like, people have been finding and flocking to these games because they want something that does feel like a much better realization. And I think that is the area where I've had like the most, like negative feelings, I think, has been, you know, the intellectual property side of it is, I mean, is a gray area. Like it is just, you know, who knows? Like, yeah. There is so much whenever it comes to, because I mean, also, who knows what is considered copyright? Like, who knows what, like, who knows where that could land? But the thing with me that does feel weird, and a lot of why, like, I really am not feeling it with Pal World, why I'm not interested in playing Pal World, I think is because of the, you mentioned it before, with Yakuza and Pal World, like Yakuza also having their own thing, and Yakuza's Tsujimon stuff, which I haven't done much with in Infinite Wealth, but like, or Yakuza Like a Dragon, Yakuza 7 did also have Tsujimon stuff to a, from what I understand, like a lesser extent, but they did have the, like, you're collecting your, you know, Tsuji decks and, you know, whatever. Yakuza frames it much more as like, this is a parody. Like, very clearly we are parodying this. It is a small part of an overall, like, very subversive game in a subversive series. It is a series that takes a lot of like inspiration and jabs at like popular media, but is within a game that is ultimately like a subversion of toxic masculinity and, you know, of society in general. And so there is an element when you're looking at like Tsujimon where it is just kind of like, it does not even register in my mind as being problematic because it is just it's part of this. I mean, it also comes from the fact that like the Tsujimon, quote unquote, in Yakuza, like they're people who are dressed up weirdly.
They're just dudes.
They're not like little animals. They're like, you are fighting, which I mean, could be, I guess, like problem, but I mean, it's Yakuza is framed the way it is. It is what it, what it is. And so like, if you play a Yakuza game, you get it. But I think the thing with Pal World, and I heard somebody say it this way, and it really kind of clicked in, is like Pal World feels like what a kid thinks Pokemon for adults is. Like, it isn't actually like what adults want from Pokemon in the sense that it's like, we want the open exploration. We want these things. It's like, No, you want Pokemon, but with guns. You want to be able to eat the Pokemon. You want to be able to, and it feels like a, it feels like whenever I was in middle school and you would like see, like you would hear about like this YouTube video where it's like, ah, it's Pikachu getting his tail cut off. And now he's like, you know, there's blood and like a Happy Tree Friends kind of thing. Where it's like, it's cute animals and there's nothing being said. There's nothing being done. It's just, it's cute animals who were, you know, and it's, there's also gore. It's two things that don't belong together that are being brought together for the sake of just conversation. Mm-hmm. And that is what, like, I think that that's the thing that puts me off about Pal World is like, not that it isn't potentially a good survival game, but in my mind, it's like, for one, I'm not a big survival game person, but it's like, I would much rather play a survival game like Valheim or something than go into Pal World and beat the shit out of a bear and then eat him. Like, that isn't one that looks like, you know, Snorlax. I don't like that. That isn't interesting to me. That isn't not even just interesting. It's not fun to me. Like that isn't going to make me happy to run around and like, you know, bludgeon these animals or shoot them or whatever. Mm-hmm. Because like, you know, for one, yeah, they do look like Pokemon. Like there is just that there's no way to disconnect that in my mind. But also at the same time, like, I'm not a middle schooler anymore. I don't find like that kind of like, oh my God, like look at this like shocking thing getting like it's a squirrel getting shot by an AK-47. Like that doesn't, nothing in that makes me interested. Like none of that makes me, none of that sounds fun to me. And it isn't. And so, I mean, again, it is one of those things where like it feels like, to me, I wonder if Pal World, like what would end Pal World is less the legal implications and more just like the fad falling off the rails. Like, you know, I mean, it's entirely possible that it doesn't. Like, you don't usually see that kind of number. Like Fortnite, people at different points were like, ah, it's a fad, it sucks, whatever. But like Fortnite is a good game that continued to be good because of like it just being good and them doing cool stuff. It would have just been a fad if there was no good game under it. And like the reality is like from all accounts, Pal World seems like it has good bones to it and it could end up being this long lasting thing that just, you know, they release new pals and they release new regions and they do all this kind of stuff and whatever. It's this long lasting kind of thing. But like, to me, I feel like once the conversation dies off, it just becomes like, well, this is just another survival game. But in this one, like I kick a goat, like I, you know, and that's, you know, it's like, well, how great, like maybe I'll play this until the next one comes out or whatever. Like, it doesn't strike me as something where it's like it doesn't strike me as something that has much longevity in either direction. It isn't going to be like, this is a game that stands on its own merits because of like the actual like play is great. It's not going to be this like, you know, subversive examination of Pokemon that just stands the test of time. It's not like, and I think that that's the thing that's getting me with it is just like, that is the thing that I'm not in. And there's no shame against people who are like people, you know, again, like people, Rick and Morty, for instance, like Rick and Morty is super irreverent. And like, granted, like Rick and Morty has a lot of like subversive stuff, is very smart, does a lot of like really interesting things, but like, you know, it's never clicked with me. Like anytime I've ever seen it, like the humor doesn't really sit with me. Like it's just never been something I want to do. Doesn't mean that I'm right in feeling that way.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't mean anything's wrong with Rick and Morty. And you know, same thing with Pal World, like me not enjoying it doesn't mean somebody can't. It's just looking at it, that is the big thing keeping me away from ever liking Pal World. It's like there is zero interest in me enslaving an animal to make guns. Like that doesn't sound fun, interesting, anything to me. Yeah. And there is literally, like there is a level of ethicalness to it where like, you know, I have a heart, and we've talked about it at different points on the show, like just, you know, feeling that way about like, you know, when GTA 6 comes out in this, in this climate, like how are we going to feel about, you know, certain things if they take certain approaches with the story, you know, whatever, like if we've had those kind of conversations before. And so it's not a new thing, but it's something where at this point, like I've got, like at first, I think I was just like, ah, you're doing my Pokemon wrong. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm mad about it. Now it's just like, the more that I see it, the more that I'm just like, man, this looks like, it looks like a game that had nothing going for it other than the fact that like it had this hook. Like,
yeah,
you know, again, maybe they're good bones, but like coming from the marketing side, that they probably knew that was not enough. They were like, we can make a good game, but we need people to be talking about us to be able to get people to actually play it. And it just so happens that what it is just is not super interesting to me. So I don't know.
No, and I think you're right. I think a lot of the discourse around it has come from the idea of like AI artwork, and is like, you know, how much of this is like original, like actual people working and like creating the art and designing the pals, and how much of it is just the giant Pikachu holding gun kind of a thing typed in to an AI generator and then working from there. I think there's a lot to be said where I think you're right and a lot of people are right that Nintendo and Game Freak is just mad that someone has taken effectively their idea but has gone and is making a lot of money off of it. And I've seen the memes and I sent them to you. And I think they're funny and have like merit of, you know, I don't care that Pal World is unethical and all this. I just want to see Nintendo burn kind of a thing. Yeah. And, you know, Nintendo also has some very controversial and borderline unethical game practices as well that can't, like, I don't think we're talking about, you know, a multi-billion-dollar corporation who holds the largest IP in the world in Pokemon. Mm-hmm. And then people who have made a effed up game involving Pokemon with like some disturbing side content and like main content to it and are making lots of money off of it as well. There's only villains in this story is kind of what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But I think there's like a needed discussion, especially, you know, with if AI was used to generate a lot of the monsters and they were pulling from that on top of everything with the writers and actors strike last year, there needs to be a big and like very defined like rule set on how like art and this medium of video games and media as a whole, like really like narrow down and protect artists, actors, you know, developers like through over the next like several decades, because like this is actual work for people. This is people's passion of doing, and you can make fun things with AI, but there's not a lot of like original ideas coming from that.
Yeah.
And I think some of the best video games and most lasting video games come from originality and individuality and that inspired artwork, and not borrowing and not plagiarizing, but borderline plagiarizing. And so I have no appeal in playing Pal World. I'm in the same boat as you. I do think the discourse will die down. I think it kind of became a very hot topic due to everything going on but I don't know if it will be a mainstay. If it is for people, it's good for you. I'm happy you're enjoying it. I'm happy the video game medium as a whole is growing, but I think there needs to be like some wide discussions on how games are made and like what is being used to make them.
Yeah. Yeah. And to cap it off, I mean, like from an art perspective, again, it is one of, and it's one of those things that like it can be difficult to say with any sort of certainty, because like, you know, for me being in an artistic kind of place, like, you know, stealing is like in a very thin line, like stealing is just a part of what art is.
Mm-hmm.
It just happens in that like there is a correct way to steal. Yeah. And there is a not correct way. And so it is a tough thing to look at in that, like, you know, so many of the greatest things were built on the bones of what came before them. Okay. And nothing is created in a vacuum. Nothing just like comes out of nowhere and is wholly original. You know, it all comes from some place. It comes from some inspiration. Some have it more than others. And I think, well, I mean, I think it's just like just like in actual, you know, traditional arts and in books and stuff, there will always be an area that some people are super fine with and some people are super not. And I think gaming is just kind of like being the, since it's always been the latecomer to that, like it's a very new art form in that way. Like it's just, it's getting to that point where it's seeing some of those things kind of start to come to a head. And I think some of it comes down to just personal preference and personal taste. And some of it does come down to the actual like legal ramifications. And, you know, cause like, yeah, if they stole actual copyrighted material, then that is actual theft that deserves to be punished. You know, but it's the only thing that we can do, like as viewers and consumers of like any sort of art, is you know kind of how we feel about it and how, and be able to ingest it and articulate it enough to be able to be like, okay, this is how I feel. I don't want this in my life, or I want more of this in my life, or, you know, whatever the thinking is there. And like, I think it's a very fluid, thing. I'm saying a lot of words that I don't know if they're actually going together and saying things, but
I think they are. I'm with you. I'm following.
But I say all that to say, like, yeah, I who knows what happens with Pal World. I hope legitimately like they didn't just steal a bunch of stuff from from Pokemon Company and it becomes this whole big thing. And you know, I hope they were just like in poor taste. They're just like a company of creators who are just like, you know, what's yours is mine, and I'll just get as close as possible without crossing the line. But yeah, I don't know. Well, it'll be an interesting thing to see where Pal World is at the end of 2024. Like people have like end of the year discussions talking about the best stuff of the year. Is Pal World like, you know, this thing that's cemented itself, or is it something that like, you know, in a month nobody's talking about because, you know, nobody cares anymore. Who knows? But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what else to say, Corey.
I feel like we covered our thoughts well on that and kind of where maybe where we stand on the line of where it's at. So
yeah. But yeah, Corey, moving on to the other Pokemon. You know, Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth, colon, Sujimon, Red and Blue. It came out on Friday. Corey, you and I both managed to almost not get it.
It was tough. This is a little dicey.
So yeah, before we actually talk about the game, I texted you, so Friday you were like, hey, it's Like a Dragon Day. I was like, totally forgot. I thought it was tomorrow. Like whatever. Yep. I look at my Amazon. I had pre-ordered it weeks before. It was supposed to be a release day thing. I look at my orders and it's like, we've received your order. We'll let you know when we've sent it out. And I was like, well, that's not cool. And then I look at the thing and it's like, oh, it's out of stock. We'll let you know whenever it comes back. And I was like, okay.
Excuse me.
I was like, all right, I guess this is not coming in the mail today. And the combination, like, I had a really busy week with work and stuff, and I was like, I don't know when I'm going to, like, get out the door to go get it. So I had kind of just resigned. I was like, I'll just get it digitally. But I ended up getting caught up on some stuff. I went out. I was like, okay, I'm going to track down a copy. Closest place to do that for me was a GameStop nearby. I went there. I don't go in GameStop very often. Just cause I like to be able to, with as much anonymity as possible, walk in, grab a game, leave. I don't want to walk in, talk about like pre-orders, talk about like, do you want to subscribe to Game Informer? I want it to be the least friction possible for me to get the game, outside of just downloading it straight onto my console, which I realize is the least friction, has the least friction in it. But walked in GameStop, was like, hey, can I get a copy of Infinite Wealth? He's like, it's not out yet. And I was like, I think it comes out today. And he was like, doesn't mean we have it. And I was like, why? I was like, is this not a GameStop where you guys only sell games? I mean, granted, you sell Funko Pops and other shit now, but like, you are a game store. Like, it's one thing if I walk in like a Publix and I'm like, hey, you got Infinite Wealth. but like,
no,
you are a game store. Like, I'm assuming. And he was like, yep, nothing. So I was like, all right, well, I'm already up here. I might as well try somewhere else. So I go by Best Buy. I looked up before I went. Mm. They, according to online, they had some in stock. So I go in, I look at the games, and they don't even have a place for it. And I was like, all right, I'm gonna have to ask somebody about this, I guess. So then I go up and ask somebody, and they're like, they look it up and they're like, yeah, it says we have one copy, but I don't trust it. Because usually whenever it says that, you know, it's just kind of gotten lost. And I was like, are you sure? And she was like, yeah, I doubt 99% chance we don't have it. I was like, all right, fun. That's cool. 2 minutes away is a different GameStop. So I was like, all right, at this point, so before I leave, I call that GameStop. I'm like, hey, do you guys have this? He's like, according to the thing, we got two copies. I was like, all right, be right there. Come in. I was like, hey, I called about Like a Dragon. He was like, yeah. He looks for it and he's like, it says we have two. Mm. I can't find it. Mm-hmm. And he says it's supposed to be right here. He's like, I can't find any. He's like, you know, do you want to order it? Like, everywhere I go, they're like, do you want to order it? I was like, nope. Nope. Got me into this mess is I ordered it. So before I leave, because at that point, like, I looked it up and it was like Target was showing does not have any in stock. Walmart was showing does not have any in stock. Like, nowhere was showing that they had it. So I was like, realistically, there was just no option for me to actually get this game today in person. And I've just wasted all of this time driving around. So I take a stab and I go on Best Buy's website where they say they have some in stock. So I was like, I'm going to place an order online, just mobile pickup order. I'm going to go, I'm going to do it. If they, maybe they don't. And I get this like bounce back thing that's like, hey, we couldn't actually look at it, you know, sorry, whatever. But I was like, I'll place it and I'll see if they can find one. And so I placed it and was like, I don't know what I'm going to do for like the hour before they find it. I make it to like a red light and it, within 5 minutes of placing the order, I was like, ah, it's ready. I was like, all right, I'll be by in a second. I walk in, same girl that I talked to at customer service. I was like, hey, I'm here to pick Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth. And she was like, what's your name? And she, and I was like, oh, it's Chris. And she went, she walked to my name where they had pulled it and slapped a sticker on it and handed it to me. And that's, I was like, incredible. Thank you so much for this. So yeah, long story short, I did get it. It was the, I have not had that kind of experience trying to find anything like that since trying to track down a PS5, honestly. Like, it was, this is a nightmare.
I mean, the funny thing is, I have a similar experience of...
Well, and I texted you and I was like, oh, I had to go to four places. And you were like, oh, shit, I need to go now.
Yeah, no. So I went to my GameStop. I walked in and I'm like, hey, can I pick up Infinite Wealth? Same thing. I don't think that's out yet. It came out today. We don't have any in stock. I'm like, I'm just kind of looking at him. I'm like, oh, okay. He was like, well, no one pre-ordered it, so we don't have it. And I'm just like, that is the dumbest excuse I have ever heard. No one's pre-ordered this game. Granted, I mean, the Yakuza series, I would say, is pretty big. It's not like Call of Duty level big, obviously. It's not, it's not even like Final Fantasy big, anything like that. But it, I think it's still up there. It sells units. And for them to just be like, we only stock games that will pre-order. Meanwhile, I'm looking at Avatar, Adventures of Pandora in a case on the wall. I'm like, okay, yeah, whatever. And so I was flabbergasted. I then went to Walmart. In the gaming section, I'm like, hey, do y'all have Infinite Wealth? The dude just laughed at me. He was like, no, we don't get new games for like a month. Sorry. Go check GameStop. I'm like, I did. And he just laughed some more. it kind of hurt my feelings. And so, but then I pre-ordered on Best Buy within like 4 minutes. I got the notification of like, hey, come pick it up. And I zip, zip, zoomed there. But I was just... It was ridiculous to me that GameStop, the place that sells video games, what it is known for, didn't have it. And my immediate thought leaving the store was like, this is why no one goes here anymore.
Yeah.
Like, this is why you are failing as a company, GameStop, is because I can't walk in and buy the game I want. It is not a GameStop. It is a Game Go. Going away from it.
Going away. Yeah, it... I'm trying to see... If there is, okay, so as of end of 2023, Yakuza 7 had sold close to 2 million units worldwide. So, you know, 3 years selling to, it's no Pow World, but I mean, even still, like, 2 million units is also not like not nothing. Like it's the number 7 of the game selling that many copies. Like it has some class. And that was kind of the surprising thing, was like I was going through and I was like, it's like, okay, I get it. Like the girl at Best Buy not knowing it, but like both GameStops that I went to, They didn't even know about it. And I was just like, it's like, dude, like, I mean, I feel like this is, I mean, I know GameStop is set up for these people to fail. Like they're setting up in this environment to like, we don't just sell games. We do all of these other things, but it's like, you should at least like sell games well. Like you should at least just do that part good. Where it is a thing, like whenever I was in high school, I was like, oh, I gotta go to GameStop. Now I would much rather go to Target and have to ask the dude to get it out of the case for me.
It's humiliating. Like,
but I would much rather do that. Like, I would much rather walk a mile through a Target and go have to wait for the guy to get it out of a case for me so that have to go to a GameStop.
It's brutal having to do that. It is one of the most humbling and humiliating experiences. What can I get you? Can I get like a dragon? Speak up. Oh, my bad, sir. Can I get infinite wealth? Meanwhile, he's like a 16-year-old kid. Just like, yeah, I got you. Thanks. Here you go, nerd. Thanks.
And I feel, and I mean, well, we're going to have the actual infinite wealth discussion, but it is such a weird thing that like, I also, whenever I was at Best Buy, I ran into a buddy from high school who works as like one of the managers at Best Buy. Shout out, Nick. How you doing? Don't know if he listens. I see him like once every 2 or 3 years and then, I ran into him. Like whenever I was going to these GameStops, it was just like the only new game that they had was Tekken 8. And it was like Tekken 8 came out.
Walmart had Tekken 8. I was shocked.
Right. And for one, that's the thing. It's like, I was like, I mean, I get it. Yakuza is a niche thing, but I was like, there's no way people are that many people are that into Tekken. Like there's no way people are like super into Tekken 8. But then I go to Best Buy and like I run into my buddy there and he's like, you picking up Suicide Squad? I was like, absolutely not. I was like, I got Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth. He's like, all right, I hope you enjoy it. And I was like, yep, I plan to more than Suicide Squad. I guarantee you that. I don't know. It was such a weird experience. And it just further solidified the fact that like, I do not want to interact with another human being whenever I'm getting a video game. And maybe that will be the thing that turns me to all digital is just never having to, to buy a physical game from another human being. And just having to resign to like, this is the only way I can get this done. I don't know, but
no, I personally love like a physical ownership of the copy of it. But yeah, I'm in the same boat where it's just like, this is such a aggravating or humiliating process. And I just wish it was more streamlined, and which it should be at GameStop, but they suck. So
it should be the one-stop shop for games.
But it should be, but it's not.
It's not any longer. But yeah, Corey, it took us a while to get it, but we got it. Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth came out Friday. We've had a few days to play it. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts, or how much have you played so far?
Also, before I dive into it, I want to talk about just how excited I am for this game. Just a bit. I mean, if you listen to our early episodes, I was playing like Yakuza Like a Dragon, Yakuza 7. And gushed over it. And Ichiban, he's one of my favorite video game protagonists. Very important game for me. How you can find your passions late in life. It's never too late to accomplish more. Yeah. And so I was ecstatic for Infinite Wealth. And it's lived up to the hype. I've been loving it so far. I'm at Chapter 5 now. Yeah. I just started Chapter 5. Just finished Chapter 4. I'm around 12-ish hours in. To the game, and it is wonderful. It being back with Ichiban, being back with the old crew, some new crew. Kiryu is back into the main fold. I haven't played all the Yakuza games. We joked about playing all the Yakuza games, and we intend to play all the Yakuza games. But played Komami, and he is in Yakuza 7. Spoilers. Not as a playable character, but he is a party member this time around. And as you're far enough into the game, you know he's a party member. Yeah.
I mean, I knew I have not run into him in the actual game yet. So, like, I knew from pre-release stuff that he was. But yeah, I at least having seen a few preview things, I am, you know, probably within an hour of of Ichiban, like, running into Kiryu. But I have not quite gotten there yet.
So. Okay, I got you. Yeah, so I'm a good bit farther than you then.
Yeah.
But I would say Ichiban and Kiryu are more dual leads than anything. Mm-hmm. Ichiban right now is like your main character who you're playing as, but Kiryu is very, very much involved in the story so far.
Yeah.
It's kind of like protagonist A, protagonist B.
Mm-hmm.
But I loved Like a Dragon. I really, really enjoyed Kiwami. But I think what I really like so much about those games and this game is just their love for video games. Like, this is, Ichiban sees the world as if he is a Dragon Quest character, and they're paying homage to that, but also like having a bit of a dig at it as this like goofy man walking around still pretending that he's the hero. He is the hero. But also like Crazy Taxi Game, they turn into like, there's this other mini game paying homage to like Crazy Taxi, or I can't remember, is that the name of it? That's an older game.
Yeah.
Where you are like this delivery guy who is doing like a crazy delivery service, where you are like bouncing around on this bicycle, doing tricks, dropping off like to go like door dashing around Hawaii. And we talked about a couple weeks ago, the mark of a great JRPG is great mini games throughout it. And this is one that is spectacular. There's the Tsujimon League, which is, again, direct rip of Pokemon. And then there's Dondeku Island, which is just Animal Crossing in the game. Mm-hmm. And this is what this team has done is, instead of, you know, blatant like plagiarism and like rips and like, we're going to say we're doing this better than you, this is them like, hey, these are wonderful things about video games, wonderful things that we love, and we want that to be in our game, but we are going to put just a fun like Yakuza spin on it, and we're going to make it like our like version of this in a way that fits within this world. And I find those like, it's showing off and celebrating what other games have done in their own way is how I'm viewing it within this lens. And so far, it's just been a delight to play. It is a new setting, and so you're no longer in the streets of Japan and Yokohama. Yokohama? I'm mispronouncing it. The hero of Yokohama. No, that's right.
Hero of Yokohama. Yep.
Yeah. You are on the sunny streets of Hawaii, and so it kind of loses that almost like late night cyberpunkish feel that it could get there, as you are quite literally in just sunny Hawaii. And I really enjoy that spin, and just being in a Hawaiian shirt and rolled up jeans and flip flops as Kiryu, not as Kiryu, as Ichiban.
Yeah.
And it's just so much fun. It's a joy to play. The turn-based combat's back, but they've kind of refined it a bit. They've given you a little bit more understanding of your movement for your characters. They've given you a bit more understanding of when you're using an object to fight. There's a bit more like tag team moves, like backstab, so on and so forth. They've just really refined that down and made it better, which is what you always want. And yeah, it's just so good. But yeah, sorry. I kind of jumped ahead there. I'm at chapter 5. I'm at 12 hours in, Chris.
I'm earlier than you. I did get to sink a ton of time, but I'm probably five to six hours in. I'm at the very start of chapter 3.
Okay.
Which at that point I think is where the game is starting to kind of open up. Like, it hasn't quite for me yet, but like it very much seems like the foundation's being laid for things to open up. And that was, I mean, I think that's, I haven't seen it levied as a criticism from anybody, but I think that was one of the things that like, I saw pretty consistently going into the game was that people were like, you know, Yakuza games can be a little slow out the gate, and this one feels like it's maybe more so than some.
It's
like
very just slow. In
right. And I mean, I think one of the things to say about that, I think it may have been like a Polygon preview. But they were talking about like the first 8 hours of it takes about 8 hours for Infinite Wealth to become a good video game. But they were like, that isn't to say that the first 8 hours of Infinite Wealth is not good. It is just a good movie. It is a good, like, whatever. And I mean, that is the true thing. It's like Infinite Wealth, like, for as slow as it, because at the beginning, like at this point, I haven't had a whole lot of experience dealing with combat. I haven't had a whole lot of experience, you know, none of the class system, none of it, like none of that stuff has come up. I've run into one, maybe two sub stories, like stuff has not, you know, all of that stuff is waiting for me in the future. But the beginning is a lot of, you know, you're watching a lot of things, you're just kind of being shuttled along as this story is kind of getting going, but it's still incredibly compelling. Like it is a thing where it's like, I'm watching it and I'm like, man, I'm really into what's happening here. Like, even if I'm not actively playing it, even if I'm not given a whole lot of opportunity to pick up the controller and just go, it's like, I'm still all about it. Because like being back again and seeing Ichiban, what he's going through, seeing, you know, at my point, I haven't met like the whole cast of characters from the original game, but like getting to see Ichiban kind of not just Ichiban, but like multiple characters that you knew and were party members with from the original game, but also side characters, like seeing how they are, you know, reckoning now post the events of, you know, Yakuza 7, like it is a really interesting thing to kind of see, and watching Ichiban like having this personal mission where he is almost like a Jesus to these people, just walking around like, I will save everyone. I will, like, I love everyone, and I will give everything of myself to make sure everyone is taken care of. Everyone has a job. Everyone has money. Everybody has, you know, whatever. And I think that that is such a, I forget how great of a character Ichiban is, because like Kiryu, I've come to love, like as a character, as I've gotten, you know, after playing like Kiwami and having more, like whenever I first played a Yakuza game, I didn't really get Kiryu. I was like, all he is just gruff and silent. Like I don't get him. But he has a lot of layers, and he just like, he's a softy and he loves kids, and he's, you know, later games, he has like an orphanage and stuff. Yeah. Like he's just like, he's a really wholesome guy who's doing all of these really impressive things. But like, there's something about Ichiban being, you know, the way that he speaks and the sort of like conversations that he's having with his friends. I think that is one of the core like big differences between, you know, early Yakuza games and like Ichiban Saga now, is that like the early games feel like Kiryu is this lone savior acting in a vacuum. Like, I mean, I know that he has like a crew and he has people who like he is very close to that mean so much to him, but he is very much like kind of taking on this stuff by himself. Whereas like Ichiban never is always alongside like Adachi and Nanba and like all of these other characters that he's grown to love. And like, so you really do have this more ensemble kind of cast. Like, you know, yeah, Kiryu's got Majima and Saijima and like all of these other characters that are popping up and doing their things. But like, you know, Ichiban's friends are there just constantly. They're along for the ride. They're doing this thing. And like seeing this character who's like bringing all of these characters from different backgrounds, you know, from like light spoilers for Seven, but the fact that he's able to bring like, oh, here's a former cop and here's a homeless guy and here's like the leader of the Chinese mafia and like everybody's just hanging out. Like we all go to bars together. Like we're, and, you know, there's something just really interesting about like Ichiban's character being able to bring all of these, being that magnetic of a personality. So it's just like, it's really exciting to kind of see him. And you get a lot of that very early on, like very, very much whenever he first lands in Hawaii, you're getting that where he's immediately so magnetic to other characters that they're just like, let's hang out. Let's you know.
I don't know. Your vibe's immaculate. Let's see what's going on, man.
Let's be friends. I love it. But yeah, I am. So yeah, most of my perspective doesn't have much to do with the actual game. I haven't gotten to any of the Tsujimon stuff. I haven't gotten to any of the Dendoku Island stuff. I haven't done the Crazy Taxi stuff. I haven't done, you know, whatever. But I am just like, I'm all into it. I love, you know, I love the energy. I love, and like you said earlier, like there is something really refreshing about going into a game where like all of the protagonists are like 40 something year olds who are dealing with real world things, because like, yeah, I can very much enjoy a fantasy RPG of some, you know, 10-year-old kid from a small town who finds out they're the hero of light and they're going to come save the world and stuff. But like, you know, seeing these characters who's like, yep, I work at a recruiting firm and, and I got laid off.
It sucks.
And, you know, and I didn't love it anyway, but like, you know, still wanted to be the best that I could be there. And now I don't really know what to do. And trying to like that being the catalyst for, you know, him going off on these adventures and seeing that like mirrored with his old childhood like dreams of like, I want to be a hero. I want to be these, and him just kind of like fulfilling that through just mundane, like I will be the heroes that I knew in Dragon Quest, but I will do it by finding people work. Like,
yes,
I will do it through being good at my job. Like, there's just something so refreshing about it. Like, if for nothing else, just from the perspective, like coming in again, like going into it and just being like, man, I miss this attitude in like the RPG structure. Like, just going in and it's like, it's these goofy enemies, and you know, Nanba's doing a fire breath where he's blowing his stanky homeless guy alcohol breath all over guys and lighting them on fire. And you know, then there's a guy in a sleeping bag coming at you like a snake, and you know, just all this weird stuff. And it's like, man, I kind of do miss this energy sometimes, and I'm so glad that it's back again for another round, because we all need it.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we don't need to just be shooting bears all day. We need to learn to love those bears, whatever they might look like.
Correct. Yeah, no, it's,
I don't know what that means, but
it works. It's, but I mean, to give you perspective, like I'm about the 12-hour mark and I haven't even got to Dendoku Island. I think it's soon. I haven't even gotten into like the jobs system. Everyone just has their base jobs. It is a very slow opening, and for people, this is the eighth game in a long-running series, and there was a Like a Dragon Gaiden, The Man Who Erased His Name, which is a prequel to this that just came out a couple months ago. That's technically not a mainline game, but it's like recommended that you would play it ahead of time, and there's some other games throughout the series. I do think, oddly enough, even though this has a very long-winded opening, this is probably the one to jump in on for the series. Because you are getting both Ichiban and Kiryu, the Dragon of Dojima, which is just baller name. And it's a slow opening. You're doing a lot of recap, a lot of like, here's what's going on in just Ichiban's life. It is hilarious, in my opinion. I have never laughed, I don't think, as much in a game as I did in some of those early sequences, especially a certain sequence events with him and another of the former companions, where I'm just like, this is brutal. And yeah. I can't help but feel pain for my boy Ichi, but I can't help but laugh either at just how real the situation is. And it's good. It's slow. And even once you get to Hawaii, it takes a little bit. But I would say once you get to the three party members, the game's cruising at that point. Okay. It's wide open to you. It's going to keep introducing a couple of things. And this is about the 8-hour mark. I would agree with that. It's going to introduce a few more mechanics. I just got the Tsujimon battles right before this big sequence I did. But it's so good. I mean, it is genuinely an incredible game that loves being a video game, that is just having the time of its life as well with everything it's doing. Its ultimate goal is to like have it to put a smile on your face while playing. Mm-hmm. And it is constantly doing that for me. It's just so good. I think they've really nailed down almost every mechanic that they're working with. I can't wait for you to get Kiryu, because they keep a lot of... for those who don't know, Kiryu was the main protagonist for the Yakuza games 1 through 6 and 0, mm-hmm. which comes before 1, but...
And also Gaiden, and also sort of an Isshin. He's not really, but he's the same face. So.
It's the same face. But in those games, he is a brawler game. It's a beat-em-up game that isn't this turn-based, and they've incorporated his... style, that beat 'em up style, into like his turn-based system, and how you can choose between like brawler, rush, or beast fighting styles, and that changes the like how your attacks land, and it's really, really neat. And it's really cool that they like didn't just have him be just another like turn-based like character. They've gone and like kept Kiryu as Kiryu. I mean, it's just it might be game of the year. It's just incredible. And I do want to note that this is a game like that is set in Hawaii, and they are not shying away from a lot of the actual real world problems in Hawaii, i.e. over tourism, large homeless populations. It's a very poor area, how a lot of the indigenous people have been like pushed out or forced to do like unbecoming work of them, and they do not pull their punches on like some of like the actual situations that is going on in that area. And which you haven't looked into that, it's really bad over in Hawaii in terms of homeless population, a lot of the indigenous people being like pushed out of their actual areas, and just a lot of over tourism and not pollution, but like garbage, I guess that's pollution, but just like, it doesn't hold back on it. It takes some like pretty dramatic, like video game, like turn of events in those regards. But still it's like, they aren't like glorifying a vacationing in Hawaii or like partying in Hawaii. Like, it's a beautiful island. It's a beautiful setting that they've gone in, and like, they don't shy away from that beach theme, but like they're very much being like, hey, you know, this is a problem that's going on here. So I respect a game studio that is doing so much so well, and also bringing that in. And I think not like killing the mood of the game, but like very much still like, hey, this is something to be aware of.
And Yakuza has always done a great job of being able to kind of thread that needle, where it's like in the same conversation, you can be like, oh, this is the funniest thing I've ever heard. And also now I'm crying because, and it's amazing that they're able to strike that balance, because like, that is so that it's unheard of to be able to just consistently be able to ping pong back and forth between that and it be effective. Like to look at a Yakuza game and have like the overall feeling of like, this is such a goofy, fun experience. But then you dig down deep and it's like, man, you know, there's some dark stuff that happens in the middle of all of this stuff happening.
He gets incredibly gory and violent, like very soon for you. In a moment where I'm like, I don't know, like Yakuza 7, Like a Dragon, like had some pretty dark moments as well, but I don't know if any of them were like this gory and violent of what they show. I'm like, okay. That's, you know, that's messed up as you're watching it. So not for the faint of heart at times.
It is a, is it M?
I think it's M. There's a lot of cursing.
But Corey, I'm excited as we continue because, I mean, it's not a super concrete at this point, but according to how long to beat Like a Dragon 7 was just for main story was about 45 hours. And then with additional contents, it says about 60. I spent a lot more than that.
Same.
It says completionist was more in the 100-hour range. This is putting main story at about 60. So with completionist runs being like 130-ish. So I mean it's at least at the front end kind of clocking in as being a beefier boy than even Like a Dragon 7. We'll be here doing this for a little while. Can't wait to see what comes up next week with because hopefully by then I'll get into some Tsujimon action, some Dundoko Island stuff.
I'm excited for the island.
Yeah. I've heard it is, I mean, to be fair, like Yakuza games, their side activities are
top notch.
Yeah, they're always good. There's no phoning it in there. So I'm excited. Corey, in the meantime though, did you have anything else you wanted to talk about?
Trying to think.
Is there anything more you would like to talk about with Infinite Wealth? Sorry, I didn't mean to cut it off as in you can't talk about anymore.
No, you're good. There's a lot more I could say. I think we're going to be talking about it more next week. This is just a game that we're going to be playing for a lot of 2024, I think. I've had the realization as we've been recording, I'm like, I think I should be able to finish this before Final Fantasy Rebirth. I don't know if I can, honestly.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to finish. I am still playing Final Fantasy VII, the original. We talked about that last week, I believe. And so like I'm out in the open world. I'm progressing through the story. Like, well, now I'm trying to put in like an hour before I go to bed right now. It's kind of my like right before I go to sleep game. But that with Infinite Wealth, Persona 3 Reload comes out next week. It's going to be on Game Pass too, by the way, which was very exciting. I'm like, okay, I can't play that. I quite physically can't. I'm pushing that on the back burner because if I bring that into the fold, it's over. I'm done. I'm a mess. But I still don't know if I'll finish it before Final Fantasy Rebirth. But I'm excited to keep talking about it because I do love this game so much. I loved Like a Dragon so much. They are just games that deserve more love, in my opinion. Yeah. So we're going to give it to them. Any other things I can talk about? We're watching True Detective Season 4. It's pretty good. I love it. And True Detective series are always, I think, pretty good. And this one's leaning a little bit more paranormal. They've all kind of dipped in their toes into different styles of horror. And then we just finished Season 1 of Only Murders in the Building, which I didn't know a lot of going into. I knew it was like a whodunit, but I didn't realize it was like a whodunit, but they've turned it into like a one of the serial like podcast things. And yep. I thought that was pretty funny. It's a really good show, surprisingly. And we were talking about it before we recorded of how I'm watching two murder mystery shows. True Detective is this like dark, gritty, like unsettling affair. And then Only Murders in the Building is like this wacky, whimsical affair. And it's a good palate cleanser. It just shows like different approaches you can take with the same genre. It's good. So check both out. You have whimsical and dark and gritty. Take your pick. Trying to think if there's anything else. I'm reading the Throne of Glass series by Sarah J. Maas. Also very much known for her Court of series. I don't know what the technical title is.
Court of Thorns and Roses.
That's the first book. Right? And so I've read the first three, and then apparently you go back and read the prequel novel, and so I'm reading that now and going through. There's like, it's like the machete order of reading it. And so that's what I'm doing right now, and it's pretty good.
Love it.
Anything for you?
Not a whole lot. We finished season one of True Detective, which was good.
So good. You know, try the best.
It's very good. It's very, it's up there with like the just nihilistic, like what's the point kind of energy with things, which, you know, doesn't always land with me, but, I think it's a really well done story, and there's a lot of like really interesting stuff that happens there, and I am excited to, because we also started season four, so I am excited to see kind of what that does, because it does, I mean, at least on the surface seems like it, even though it is kind of like a quote-unquote return to form, does feel like it has a different tone to some extent, like just in like what it's trying to accomplish and do and who its characters are. So I'm very interested to kind of see like what it is in the long run. Other than that, just been priming myself for that infinite wealth. So that I got it, there's nothing stopping
you.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Corey, next week more infinite wealth, I'm sure. Maybe during all this, maybe we'll fit in a specialty topic, just to kind of break it up a little bit. Yeah. So you guys don't have to just keep hearing us talk about infinite wealth every single week.
Sorry.
You get to listen to us talk
correct
about, infinite wealth every week. Corey, I'm excited though, regardless, to kind of see how that keeps going. And I'm excited to see, what fancy new topic we come up with in the interim to keep things fresh. But until then, Corey, where can people find you on the internet? They want to find you on the internet.
People can find me on the internet at #slingingthrasher on Instagram, and that is it.
Love it. You can find me at arcadecozy@gmail.com.
Nice.
that's what we got. I actually had somebody on that followed my 4-Point Pixel account who bought like one of my shirts. They're like, hey, I was wearing one of your shirts today and I just realized I haven't seen you post anything in a while. And I was like, yep.
Sorry.
Yeah, don't know what to tell you. It's just where I am right now. Hit us up. ArcadeCozy@gmail.com. Follow Sega on Instagram. They make Yakuza.
They did. Buy Infinite Wealth.
That's buy Infinite Wealth. If you can find it, then buy a bunch of copies, because apparently this game will be more valuable than gold very soon.
At this rate.
Nobody has it. Nope. So you will be one of only four people, I'm sure, that own it. Corey, until next week, this has been Arcade Cozy. Life is hectic. Why should your hobbies be too? Yeah.
Not
Ichi number one. No.